Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2015. Miss Tara Scully, Marketing and Communications of Fairwear Foundation presents Support Better Factory Conditions.
Hello everyone, welcome to this session called Well Made. And with well made, we mean it in the broadest sense of the word. So products being well made in good quality and made by people who have access to the same rights as you and I. So today we'll be talking about ways to improve labor conditions in your garment factory. And my name, before we go any further, I'll introduce myself. My name is Tara Scully, and I work for the organization Fairwear Foundation, which is one of the organizations behind this well-made project. And we do that with the organizations you can see behind me on the screen, and it's funded by the European Commission. Now, improving labor conditions in your garment factory is quite a big topic. So before we tackle that and go any further, I'd like to get used to the space we are in now and the people who are in it. So as a warm up, let's have a chat about what you are wearing right now, because you probably deal with cloning on a day-to-day basis, or else you wouldn't be here today. But do you actually know where the garments you're wearing right now have been made? And what do you know about the labor conditions in that country? So I'd like you to turn to your neighbor next to you, or maybe behind you, find someone and have a chat. Do you know where your products have been made, and what do you know about the labor conditions in that country? If you're not sure, maybe you can check the label, or help your neighbor check the label in the neck. And what do you know? What can you find out? Ah, it's cut out. So have a chat. Oh, lost the question. Where have your the products you're wearing right now? Do you know where they've been made? And what do you know about labor conditions in that country? You know? So let's discuss. Okay, I see some people have had some discussions and found out. So I'm curious, what countries did you find, or did you already know? China, big garment producing country. Any other ones? Yeah? China. Also China. Studio Yux, yes, I know them, yes. Yeah. And Portugal for the shoes. Nice. Any other countries? Or the same one? More China? You found? In Europe? East Europe, yeah. Yeah. And you? Turkey, also a big garment producing country. Yeah. I've heard a few, but I'm actually missing one country, and maybe you can already guess which one I mean. It's Bangladesh, and it is because today for this session we're using a pair of jeans made in Bangladesh as an example of a typical supply chain. And it's also, of course, one of the biggest garment producing countries. So let's get started with our supply chain. First up in this supply chain, we have Mr. Khan, and he's the owner of a factory, garment producing factory in Bangladesh, Dhaka. He's the one that shows potential customers around and makes the final decisions on where the factory houses, in which building. And he really wants the best for his workers and truly believes he's running a fair workplace. Now, next up in the supply chain, we have Mr. Saidur. He's a project manager of an international shipping agency in Chittagong, Bangladesh. Now, for those of you who do business in Bangladesh, you might know, but the biggest port of Bangladesh is in Chittagong, But most garments, just in, as in this case, are made in Dhaka, Bangladesh. And the road between these two cities isn't very good. It's not even good enough for trucks that carry sea containers. But it is about a 10-hour drive. So imagine what happens to clothing, the products, when it rains and they're transported in open trucks in cardboard boxes. And it's Mr. Khan here that has to pay for all of these damages because he only gets paid for the products that land safely on the ship. Hence the term FOB, or as you might know, free on board. So, next up in a supply chain, the product then reaches the brand. And as you can see, our brand employee doesn't have a name yet. And that's because I'm looking for a volunteer who will offer their name and be our brand employee in this supply chain. So don't be afraid, you don't have to do much. It's actually just a name I'm looking for. So who's willing to be our brand employee for today? Anyone working at a brand? Willing to share their name? Like I said, it's just a name, you don't have to do much. Who has a short name I can type in quickly? Maybe that's the best one. Yeah? Emily. Okay, thank you. And how do I? E-M-I-L-Y. And where are you from? What country? US. Thank you very much for sharing your name. That's correct? Yeah? Okay. Then we have our brand employee, Emily, in our supply chain. Now, next up, last but not least, of course, the factory worker. And her name is Shima Begum. And Shima is 23 years old. And at 23, she already has a long career behind her. When she was 14, her uncle took her to a garment factory, making her wear high heels and makeup so she would look older. And then when she started off, she was an assistant to a sewing machine operator. But now at 23, she's proud to be a senior sewing machine operator. And with that, she earns a bit more than minimum wage. So you could say, not bad for a 23-year-old, right? Well, in reality, organizations estimate that one should earn a lot more than just this minimum wage to cover the real costs of living in a city as Dhaka. Now, Mr. Khan, Mr. Saidur, Emily, and Shima, all of them are working together on the same piece of clothing, and many more besides them. You could say each one of them is linked to a piece in the supply chain. So Shima, the factory worker, makes the products in the factory. Sometimes there's an agent in between, and it then gets transported, usually by a ship, but not always, depending on the location. Then it reaches the brand, and through the shop, in the end, it reaches the consumer. So in a way, you could say these people are all working together as a team on the same piece of clothing. But all of these team members are divided by physical distance that the product then travels along. And this physical distance means that everyone lives a very different life. But still, each and every team member has the same basic human rights. So what are these basic human rights we're talking about? Well, first of all, employment is freely chosen. No discrimination. There's no child labor. Freedom of association and the right to collective bargaining is respected. There's payment of a living wage, reasonable hours of work, safe and healthy working conditions, and then finally, a legally binding employment relationship, which is a fair and legal contract. Now, these are Shima's rights, Mr. Saidur's rights, Mr. Khan's rights, and also Emily's rights. They count for every member of the supply chain. But as we know, for some team members, these rights are harder to guarantee than for others. So let's have a look at our factory worker again. And here are some facts about Chima and her fellow workers. In Bangladesh, about 90% of the garment factory workers are women. And the minimum wage for them is 5,300 taka, which is about 50 euros. And what you can pay with that in Bangladesh would be the rent of one room, food, and transportation from and to work. This will not cover, though, clothes, healthcare, educations, or savings. And it will certainly not pay for fun or, say, a trip to visit your children, who are most likely being raised by their grandparents back home. And in reality, organizations estimate that the legal minimum wage should be up to five times higher to become a real living wage and cover some of those things. And in China, even though it varies from region to region, it should at least be twice as high to become a living wage. And in Turkey, the legal minimum wage should be up to four times higher to become a real living wage. So clearly, in most major garment-producing countries, the legal minimum wage is not enough to survive on. And something has to change. So we could say, let's tell the factory to shape up and pay more money. Well, brands have been doing that for a long time now, but clearly not a lot has changed. And the reason for this has to do a lot with the way brands do business. Let's have a look at this picture. On the left, we have the worker, or the factory, and on the right, the brand. Now, between a brand and a factory, money is exchanged for goods, for garments. And a critical factor in this is time. Between the factory and the brand, a certain time is agreed on to deliver the products, also known as the lead time. And when this lead time is very short, then the factory could hire more workers to get the job done in time. But this costs money, and prices are often very low. So despite the fact that excessive overtime is dangerous and reduces the quality of the garments usually, factories often feel like they have no other choice. Another factor in this is that factories aren't always sure when the next order will come in. With peak seasons and style changes, it's always insecure when the next order will come. So then when an order does come in, a factory often overbooks, which is another reason for overtime. And these unpredictable orders mean that a lot of workers don't get steady contracts or stable work. So these are just a few examples of how the hours of work, the wages, health and safety conditions, and the contracts of workers are being influenced by the decisions of brands, and how brands influence the lives of Chima and her fellow workers. Now the question is, what can you do about this situation? And in order to find out, asking you to bring out your mobile device. If you have a smartphone or maybe a tablet, you can use that to be part of the next part of this presentation. It's really easy. You just join the Wi-Fi that I've created here called WellMade, and it's free of charge. There's no password needed, so it's very safe. So you get your phone and you log into the Wi-Fi that's called WellMade. Maybe you'll have to look around a bit because I think there's quite some Wi-Fi networks going around. And then once you find the Wi-Fi that's called WellMade and you've logged on to that, then you go to your browser and type in live.wellmade.org. So you need to be connected to WellMade first, the Wi-Fi, and then you type in live.wellmade.org. No www, no HTTP, but just live.wellmade.org. And then you should see a symbol popping up on your screen, and that symbol's popping up here now. So I see one person has managed to connect. That's good, it's working. Ah, some more people are joining in. So this will be your symbol for the rest of the presentation. Again, if you missed one of the steps, first go to your settings, find your Wi-Fi, and then log on to the Wi-Fi that's called Well Made. So once you're connected to that, then you go to your browser and you type in live.wellmade.org without the HTTP and without www. And then you should find a symbol in your screen. Now, if you forgot your phone or somehow don't have a lot of battery left or anything, then maybe your neighbor will be so kind to share their screen with you and you can work on it together. Is there someone that needs a bit more time before we continue? Or shall I go forward? Yeah, okay. I think most of you managed to log in, otherwise you can still refresh your screen and join in the next slide. Let's see if this works. Now, does your company have a code of conduct? And you can tap on your screen which one is true for you. So you should see now on your screen, yes, no, or I don't know. I see a lot of you pressed yes. Some no, and some don't know. I'm quite curious about who doesn't have a code of conduct, but most of you said yes, and that's actually the case. Most garment-producing companies do have a code of conduct. But the main question, of course, is how do you implement this code of conduct through the whole supply chain? Now, another question. What is your job role in the company you work for? So you should find now on your screen a list of different job roles, job titles. Which one best applies to you? I'm curious who we have in the audience. And you can also pick not working at a brand if you're not working at a brand. Okay, some still changing. So most, if you think it's not popping up correctly, that's because it points to the one you filled in. So now most are in product design. Some CEOs we have and sourcing materials. Oh, and still some are changing. Product development, also a few, and some not working at a brand. But most actually in product design. And let's hope all of you will get something out of this presentation for now. What's most actually striking to me is no one from CSR, and we are talking about labor conditions, so it's really good that not only the CSR department is interested in this subject. Okay, last question for now. What is most important in your work for you? Is that a good chair and monitor? 2 evenings with your family or friends, of course? Paid maternity leave or inflation correction? And again, you can type on your screen what is most important for you. And maybe you've tried already, but yes, you can only pick one. So you can tap more than one, but then you will change. And I can already see that we have a clear winner in here, which is 2 evenings with friends or family. More about this later. Now let's continue. So here's all of you again and the job role you've assigned yourself. And all of you will be represented now by the brand symbol. Here we have the supply chain again. And we've added these flowers representing the well-being of everyone along the supply chain. Now, ideally, everyone would have equal well-being along the whole supply chain. But as we know, it's not always distributed equally like this. Now, we've added here the piggy bank and t-shirts representing sales and money. Because for the well-being of your brand to be in good shape, you, of course, need sales and money. As do you want the workers' well-being to be in good shape. And to make this interconnectedness a bit more clear, we're going to discuss a case. Now imagine you're at your work in a job role you just gave yourself, and then the sales team, which we actually didn't have anyone from sales, but the sales team, they sound the alarm bell. And a survey came back indicating that a late color change is needed in order for your product to sell. So you already put out the order to the supplier, but now you find out after doing a survey amongst your customers that you should really change the color if you want to continue selling this product. Now, what do you do? It's weeks before the delivery deadline, but of course you want this product to sell well. Now, do you decide to change the color of the product, yes or no? And you can tap on your screen if you want to change this color, yes or no. Most of you have voted. And it looks mostly green, also some red in there. But let's have a look. Most say yes, which is, of course, understandable because you're not in a business of making products that don't sell. Although a big part of you said no, which is also understandable, and we'll get to that afterwards. Why would you choose for the no option? But since you went for yes, let's see what that means. So you change the product at a later stage. Then that means that your brand will be kind of okay, because you will continue to sell your product and money will be coming in. For some reason my clicker isn't working, so let's see if this works. Yes. So your brand's well-being will stay the same. You will continue to sell, money will come in. But as you probably imagined, and especially the part that pressed the no button imagined, this will influence the worker. We'll have to click here now. So you remember Shima. Here she is again. Well, her normal working day should start at 8 and end at 6. But in reality, she works a lot longer than this, sometimes up to 100 hours a week. Now, imagine what that means if you start at 6, 7 in the morning, work till 10, 11 at night. There isn't enough time for relaxation. There isn't enough time for family life, something that most of you found most important in your job. And there isn't even enough time for sleeping. Plus, everything hurts from sitting bent over a sewing machine day in, day out on a backless stool. And also, most garment or most workplace accidents happen during this overtime when workers are tired. It affects the health and well-being of a worker, but also the quality of a product, of course. So these are just a few examples of what would happen when you change to this rush order at a later stage. Now, say you want to prevent this kind of pressure on the worker, then you could say no to this kind of late color change. The worker will continue to produce as before, so the well-being won't change much, but your brand would take a big hit. Sales would go down, and also with the money, and it's not sure if your company can take this kind of hit at these times. So good reason for you to let's change the color. But this means that you are forcing the supplier who had this time slot for you, you're forcing them to create a new time slot, because new fabrics have to be ordered and tested for different qualities. And that means this new time slot will most likely be at night. So thinking of this time factor, saying you do want to change the color because you want to continue to sell, but you don't want the workers to be affected that much. Can you think of ways how to counteract these negative effects of a late color change and maybe in a way give time back to these workers. This time you cannot find the answers on your screen, as you maybe already have seen, because I'd like to invite you to shout out some of the answers you may come up with. As you see here, we have a top five. This is a top five that we came up with together with the brands we work with. And they answered this question because they get it a lot. Maybe not a late color change, but a style change or something that has to be changed at a later stage. It happens. And what do they do to counteract the negative effects? This is a top five we heard. Maybe you have the same ideas or maybe you have some new ones. So I'm curious to know what you would be thinking of in this case. Who has some ideas? Change the way of transportation? Yes, definitely. That's one that we heard. Some more. What are options to give time back or counteract the time loss? Sorry? Pay a speed bonus, yeah. Compensate added costs, yeah. Sorry?
Less quality control.
Less quality control. Yeah, I don't have it here.
It's better.
But yeah. Then the question is what the retailer would think about less quality and if they'll accept it. Do we have another match? We have three left. Split the delivery. Yeah. Well, we could put that under this one. Change the delivery time at retailer, or at least for then maybe one group of products you send ahead and the other one you send after. Two left. What would be the first thing, maybe very obvious, but what would be the first thing you do when you realize you want to change something to the garment? It's notifying the supplier. Yes, it is very obvious, but actually it does happen that the first thing that happens is we talk about what do we do with the retailer, what do we do with the product, and what does this mean for our income, and then nobody thinks of notifying the supplier. But the more time they have, of course, the more they can do to plan accordingly. And the last one, I'll give that one to you, and it's actually good that you didn't think of it. Pull the whole order. Now, let's quickly go through them. Early notice to supplier, like I mentioned already. The more time they have, the more they can do to plan the new production. Or maybe hire more workers if that is necessary. Compensate added costs. If they have to hire more workers, then that will cost more money. And this way you can compensate. Or if there's extra hours, over hours, then at least they get the over hour fee. Air freighting material, that makes it faster, but also more expensive. And of course, from an environmental perspective, it's not ideal. So that should maybe also go in the balance. Another option, what I've heard, is to air freight at least part of the order ahead and then let the other part follow by ship. Change delivery time at the retailer. So the retailer might not be happy about this. If you are your own retailer, then you can plan a bit easier with the other productions you've got going on. And otherwise, just explain to the retailer what's going on. And it's never bad to give them some education on the whole supply chain and what goes on in there. And the last option, pulling the whole order. Well, this is, of course, the last resort. If nothing else works, then you can find another retailer who can make the product in time that you want. But really, the factory should be compensated then for their loss of their order, because it's not their fault that you wanted to change this product at such a late stage. Well, these are just a few quick things that you can do to counteract this late change. But in reality, of course, you would like to prevent this kind of time pressure beforehand. And depending on your job role, there are things you can do there as well. So the sourcing department can work on steady relationships with factories, because the better the relationship, the more willing, of course, the factory would be to invest in these kind of basic human rights. If they know you will change again after a few weeks, then they won't invest as much in their labor conditions. So good relations with the factories. Also, the production planners can work on carryover collections. So the peak seasons and the low seasons we talked about make them a bit more stable in between. But all of these ideas do need support from your co-workers and need collaboration from everyone within the team. But with this, you do have influence. And actually, the ratio of one brand employee to factory workers is 1 to 100. So making one of you, one brand employee, influence the lives of up to 100 garment factory workers. And with this project, we call on you to use this influence to create truly well-made products. Now, you remember I asked you what is most important in your job. Here's the results again. And of course, these are all related to one of the labor standards. Safe and healthy working conditions, reasonable hours of work, payment of a living wage, and legally binding employment relationships. I forced you to choose between one of these, but in reality, most of these are a given for us. And they are natural to us. But millions of garment workers around the world right now face violations of these rights every day. So we call on you to use your influence within your brand to make a change and make truly well-made products. Well-made in good quality, but also with basic human rights for you and your fellow workers along the supply chain. So thank you for being here today. If you're interested to learn more about the project, I have some flyers and information here, also on Fairwear Foundation, one of the organizations behind this project. And you can join us online. Our website has many more cases. So this case you can discuss, but there's more cases online and resources you can read for more background information. So thank you for being here today, and let me know if you have any further questions.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to www.performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2015 by Design and Development GmbH Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.